gifts of the Spirit. And so we'll intro. I'll do that a couple times as an intro, and then we're going to unpack every all the nine gifts of the Spirit up to the holiday season. So you don't want to miss it. You can listen to us on our website if you do miss one. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the gifts that He gives. I hope there will be a lesson down line where we learn how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I know some have for a lot of years. I know some haven't, but we want to do that. And I tell you, more than anything, and I really mean this, because there's God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, right? That's what the Bible teaches us. And we're going to give a lot of emphasis now to the Holy Spirit, but we're not going to take anything away from God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, because where would we be without Jesus, right? And he's our Savior. But I tell you what I've been praying for now for probably about 6 weeks is I want you to get really hungry for the Lord. I want you to get hungry for Jesus. I want you to get hungry for God. I want you to get thirsty just for Him. Not what where you're serving or what you want to do or and all that's important, but I just want you to get hungry for God. How about that? Will you pray with me that way that you'll love Christ more every day and know Him more? And I'm just praying that as we talk about the Holy Spirit, you'll get so hungry for the Word of God that you just can't hardly sit it down morning, noon, and night. Now we can keep one everywhere we go. Remember that? I used to always keep one in both cars, one at home, one at church. One at work, I used to just keep Bibles laying around so that wherever I was, I could get into God's Word. Now we have it everywhere we go. I mean, so if you don't have the Bible on your phone, and most of you do, put it in there. But I want you to get hungry for the Word of God. You say, well, I don't know. That sounds weird to me, Pastor. Just start praying and the Spirit will do the rest. You'll go, gosh, I want to know what's in there. I want to learn what's in there. I want to, there's the red letters. That's what Jesus was saying. I want to learn what the Lord said. And I want you to be hungry for the Holy Spirit. For the, you know, I like to, for the presence of the Lord. The tangible presence of the Lord in your life. He's called the Holy Spirit. That's the tangible presence of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit has been forgotten in so many churches. It's in their creed, even some of them. It's even in their bylaws. But nobody ever, but a lot of churches don't talk about the Holy Spirit. And listen, good Bible doctrine is a good thing. We need to know the truth in what this Bible, what this document says. Good Bible doctrine is good. Give me an amen. But you know why we study the Bible and put good Bible doctrine in our mind and our heart? So that we can know the person of the Holy Spirit. So that we can know the God of the doctrine and the God of the Bible and the Savior of His Word. That's why we study and that's why we read and do everything that we can possibly do. Well, I'm a little excited. It's okay. First, you got to get saved. For a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit again, because you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to operate in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about that for a couple of weeks, and I've already taken too much time. I'm just excited. But I want to illustrate something for you. And by the way, salvation is still the most important thing. Spending eternity with Christ is still the most important thing. Don't ever forget that, right? Just our national leader told a group of pastors, we had a pastor's luncheon yesterday, because there's a lot of different viewpoints in the body of Christ, and that's okay, as long as there's scriptural and everybody's trying to drill down in scripture. But if we believe you must be born again, if we believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is another experience you have, and we believe in missions and soul winning, if we can agree on those three things, that pretty much covers it. So when you ask Christ into your heart, you know, you have to repent and confess your sins And it says that he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And you make an invitation for him to come into your heart and life. And he washes you and he forgives you. And because of the work of the Spirit at salvation, he changes your heart and you're saved for eternity. It's kind of like this. Ask Christ in. Now you got Jesus in your heart. Can everybody see that? But let me tell you what, when you get hungry for God and you say, well, I'm saved. If you're saved in here this morning, give me a big amen. Because of the grace of Jesus Christ. God is so good. Jesus is so good. There's hardly a worship service that I don't tear up in because I'm just so thankful for what Christ has done. But there's more. If you read the Bible, there's more. And do you want all that God has for you, or do you just want part of what God has for you? All? Well, I was always an all-in guy anyway. Now, when I was living in the world, that didn't work too well for me. But now that I'm living for Christ, being all-in has always been a good attribute to have. As long as it's based in the Word of God, and I want everything the Lord has for me, don't you? I want it all. We used to hear the term, I'm full gospel. Well, sometimes that means I'm full gospel, but I need to get rid of some of that. Yeah, but I want everything God has. So, you know, it's the Lord that has saved you, but I tell you, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's more like this. Amen. This is everything the Lord has for you. Read with me in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to read about 11 verses in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. Over the next few weeks of 1 Corinthians, we'll be looking a lot. And we'll teach on the Holy Spirit about 9 or 10 weeks. And that still won't be, you could teach for a year on the Holy Spirit. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. There's other translations that say, I don't want you to be ignorant. Ignorance is not a bad thing. It means you just don't know, just don't understand. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Church, there's only one Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy, there's only one. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Spirit, the gifts are not so much for you as they are for others. They operate through you, but they're for others. And we'll talk about that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, and look to your neighbor and say, I think that one's probably you. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same, by the one Spirit. Look to your other neighbor and say, that might be you. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So you got this text, and let me just talk about that just a minute. Because that... And there's all kinds of other, we're talking about the charismatic gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. There are other gifts and abilities and skill sets that God gives you that we may talk about another day when we get through this. Do you remember what we talked about last year this time? We did it strategically. We taught on the fruit of the Spirit because it's important to have character, the character of Christ, right? And this year, about the same time, we're going to talk on the gifts of the Spirit. But you see in these few verses, among many other verses, that there's a foundation. And I want to give you just a foundation this next few weeks for understanding the gifts of the Spirit. And what Paul's doing, he's writing the church in Corinth in this regard. He wrote them and addressed some other areas, too, about the way they were living or should have been living. But there's confusion about the gifts of the Spirit. They've gotten filled with the Spirit. They've been saved. They've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But there's some confusion. There's even some misuse going on. And let me say something to you. It wasn't, most people don't misuse the gifts on purpose. They just have to learn what they are, and then you have to learn how to operate in them. And I'm telling you, this is why I want to encourage you. When you begin to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, if you're human, somewhere along the line, you're going to make a mistake. But I would rather you step out as the Spirit's moving through you and receive these gifts that God has given you and make a mistake here or there so that you'll learn how to operate in the gifts. Is that fair? Even in 14, Paul talks about practicing the gifts. Chapter 14, we'll get to that in a few weeks down line. And Paul's saying, again, in the church had been saved, the church had been filled, and he's teaching the early believers how to operate in the power of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's encouraging them because he wants them to operate in these gifts. He said, some of you, it's not just that you've misused them or even you're a little confused, and I'm using my term, you're just misinformed. You're just ignorant. You've just never been taught. And so Paul was teaching them like I want to teach you this morning. Because if I could simplify it, and it's going to be a great 9 weeks, when the Holy Spirit fills us and baptizes us and then begins to give us gifts, they are simply this, ministry tools from God that he gives to us to move through us to minister to others in our world. You can operate in the gift of healing at work. Try it. Pray for somebody that's sick at work and see if God won't show up and heal some people. Jesus said this in John 16 and 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He's talking to his disciples. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. And then I love this. But if I go, I will send him to you. John 16, he's talking about a helper. John 17, he begins to call him the Comforter. The word there is the Holy Spirit, and the word in this case is paraclete or paraclete. And it simply means someone that comes alongside you. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to pay for your sins. I'm going to die. I'm going to go to the tomb. I'm going to be raised on the third day. I'll be at the right hand of the Father. And you can find scripture for all those comments. But he said, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a helper, church. For those that are born again, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you some help. I'm going to send some empowerment so that you can be a light shining in a dark world. I'm going to send some help so that you can be a witness to those that don't know Jesus Christ. I'm going to send a helper that will come alongside you as well as move through you to touch people in your world. Can I get an amen for that? I want to try to keep this whole series so simple. Because when the paraclete comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's a comforter and a helper. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 29, and I'm just trying to get through the introduction. We may make three parts out of this intro. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Listen, we heard this weekend too, and there's no self-reliance. We can't do all these things I'm getting ready to teach y'all for the next 2 or 3 months. He has to do it through us. But not only does he have to, he wants to, church. He wants you saved and baptized and filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants to do. And so when we're weak, we're strong. When we're leaning on God, he's sufficient enough. Look, God is raising up like never before, and it's never been needed more in our country with the culture and the world that is going south, to raise up a spirit-baptized, spirit-filled, spirit-empowered church that can change this world collectively and individually. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God, guess what? Why'd you read that verse, Pastor? It's not for a few super saints. Look to your neighbor and say, are you a super saint? Well, realistically, Jesus thinks we all are. But you know, a little bit of Hollywood's infiltrated our world, or even our church world. Not here, I hope. And sometimes we get the idea that what I'm going to teach you is just for those that are so famous. Or even down just to the local level. Well, that's for Pastor Dale and his staff. Well, no, it's for all of us. He wants to baptize us and gift us all. This is how Jesus has chosen to build the church. Through ordinary people like you and I. And I'm just an ordinary guy. And that's the truth. Everybody in this room can experience the joy. Say everybody with me. Because some of you believe me and some of you don't. I can tell by looking at you. Not me, Pastor. Yeah. Yeah. If you think it's not you, that probably makes you a better candidate. I mean, Moses said, not me. God said, yes, you. And I could go on and on. Peter said, me. But God had to kind of reshape him a little bit. But then he empowered it. The Holy Spirit wants his gifts flowing through every one of you in this room this morning. Everyone can experience it. Listen now. It's just a matter of what Paul was trying to do in the church of Corinth. It's dealing with ignorance. It's not your fault if you haven't been taught about the Holy Spirit. I mean, why about the next 3 months y'all read everything you can about the Holy Spirit in the Bible on your own as well? Or it's fear. It could be fear. I'm scared of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is weird. Holy Spirit's not weird. Jesus isn't weird. God the Father isn't weird. Now, all those, the Trinity, I mean, they can lead us to do some unusual things. Just read the Bible. And when signs and wonders manifest, it's different. But the Holy Spirit is not weird. And maybe I was with somebody not too long ago, and they said, we never were taught about it. We just chose to skip over all the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And then my grandmother was raised in a church before she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they taught her, and they had it in their creed, but still taught their people that the Holy Spirit was of the devil. Now think of how strange that is. That's weird. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is Lord. This morning you could say, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, in our worship, touching our heart. The Holy Spirit is creative. The Holy Spirit is all wise. The Holy Spirit moves through individuals. By the way, there's no cookie cutter copy in here. God made us all different. Everybody look around. Do you see a twin this morning? Are there any twins in the house? I mean, look, there's 100 and change here this morning. It looks like about 130 or 40 here. But we all look different. What if we all look the same? Well, it depends on how we looked, I guess. The Holy Spirit, we read it. It's not a cookie cutter idea. There is a variety of gifts that are given to Spirit-filled people, same Spirit. There is a variety of administrations and way to serve in them, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of activities and operations, but the same Spirit. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a promise from God the Father. Luke 24 and 49 said this, and Jesus said this too. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. And you'll see this upon you quite often. I'm sending the promise of the Father upon you, but stay in, he's talking to his disciples, but stay into the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from up on high. Did I just read that? But it's a promise from the Father. Jesus said he was teaching his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Acts 1, verses 4 and 5 says this. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. A little time has passed, not a ton of time, from Luke to here. And by the way, Luke also wrote Acts. He wrote both books. So we kind of see a connect the dot from the book of Luke to the book of Acts. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you heard from me. For John, listen. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Water baptism, we celebrated it last week. It's the sign of salvation in our heart. I was standing in the world. I died with Christ. My sins died with him. I was raised to new life. So we're seeing something here. Acts 1 and 8, some that we all know and most of us could quote, said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We see the word upon over and over and over. The new birth is when we get saved, but when the Holy Spirit baptizes you, he not only bubbles up from within, but he comes up on you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an endowment of real, tangible power working in your life from on high, sent down from the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said he would do it. It's different, and I'm teaching you good doctrine this morning. It's a separate experience from salvation. I've told you that before, but let's look at a couple of instances. There's several in the Bible. I picked two. Acts 8, 5 and 8, and they go to Samaria. And it says, Philip went down to Samaria, the city of Samaria, and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. Philip's operating in the gifts. He's casting out demons and healing people and seeing people saved. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. Watch this. So there was much joy in that city. Look, God wants to endue you with power. He wants to save you if you're not saved this morning. But if you're saved and know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's more here that we can have. He wants to endue you with power so that wherever you go, not inside these four walls, but wherever you go, He can flow through you to touch this lost, dying world. And I tell you, you go to work and people start getting saved and people start getting healed and other things start lifting off their lives, there'll be a joy of the presence of the Holy Spirit to come to your workplace or to your schools, your colleges, wherever you're at. And then we keep reading about Samaria, and for sake of time, I bump to verse 12. Read the whole chapter later. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So keep going. We see that they accepted Christ as Savior. Even Simon himself, he was a sorcerer. After being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now, when the apostles, watch this now. God is moving through Philip. People are getting saved and inviting Christ into their life. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. Okay, here comes the general council boys. You know, some of the executive presbyters are being sent out into the church world. What did they come and do? Who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They're already saved. For he had not yet, here it is again, fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it get any clearer than that? Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. That's clear as a bell. They received Christ. Philip's still operating in the gifts. They hear at Jerusalem, they send two Spirit-filled guys, say, hey, we know you guys are saved. We know, we've heard. Have you received the Holy? Not yet. Let us lay hands on you and pray for you. Could I say it this way? Bam! Say it with me. Bam! I love y'all so much. You have so much fun with me. Acts 19:1-7. Now, I don't have time to go to all of them. You could go to Acts chapter 10. You can go to Acts chapter 2 and read of other instances. But I wanted to show you two, and I know it might cause me to run out of time. But I just want you to see it. Acts 19:1-7. And now this is the church in Ephesus, who also God is already doing some great things. Watch this. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. How many of you know disciples are saved people? Come on. And he said to them, it's all in one sentence. They're believers, they're disciples. We know that salvation is part of what God does by his Spirit. But look, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? If you're a believer this morning, slide your hand up. And I know we got a lot and some maybe not, and we're going to give you a chance. Okay, since you believed, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. So similar to the church in Corinth, you don't know if you don't know. You have to be taught from the Word of God, don't you? I mean, God's word is his word, right? Y'all going, boy, he's getting close. Darla swears I'm going to fall off someday. We've got a nurse in the house. Vic, if I ever fall off, come and get me. Help me. Help a brother out. And he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. That's baptism of water. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus. That's clear. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Here we have it again. already saved, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you will find when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you'll speak in tongues, you'll praise God, you'll prophesy at times. Every instance but one in the book of Acts, they spoke in tongues. But in that instance I just read, it says they saw something. So something outward was coming from that bunch too as an initial sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Which one do you want to be, church? Would you rather just be this? That's important. That's salvation. Woo. But would you rather be bubbling, filled, alive, powerful, useful for others in this world we live in? You see, because when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, and I've talked about it a lot already, there's a release of power. We already read, but you will receive power. I taught you a few weeks ago when we went through the four teachings of the church, the word power there is a word dunamis in the Greek. It's a word for dynamite. See, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive dynamite power. And let me reemphasize, if you've been born again and you've made Jesus Christ your Savior, the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit's for everybody, not a superstar or two. Now, I found that some operate in one gift more than others and this and that, and we're going to talk about a lot of the practical things. As with some operate in all the gifts, I believe all the gifts are for us as He wills. Remember we read that? As He wills, as He determined, but it's a release of power, explosive power, dynamite ability, dynamite light, dynamite revelation, dynamite, 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 dynamite. God wants His church to be dynamite. He doesn't want a church that is dead. Thank God. We're the church, not these old concrete walls. Thank God we're not dead. It's lively around this place. And when people have been filled with the Spirit, they'll be passionate about God. They'll get hungry for God and hungrier for God and hungry for God. They want to serve God. They want everything God has for them. Their fellowship will be more lively. Their service will be more powerful. Their lives will be more passionate. And I know it comes out in all different ways. We're different personality types and all that jazz. But God wants His church to be powerful. You ever been in a dead church? Everybody walks in. Everybody sits down. Everybody sings. That's summer quiet. I'm not making fun of anybody. But if you're quiet, you need to be alive. I'm loud. Lydia's loud. We're loud. Aren't we, Lydia? I am. So some of you others are loud like the rest of us. Some of you are quiet. But it's okay to be quiet. The world needs more quiet people, not more loud people like me. But be passionate. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the quietest guys I ever knew was a senior man in my life who went to be with the Lord, Bob Shaw. He was one of the most powerful spirit men I ever knew, and he's one of the quietest men I ever knew. He was powerful. God has power for your life. Listen, how many of you know we're powerless, aren't we, without Him? Has anybody ever felt powerless this year? Who? Even with some of the things going on inside us, we need the power to overcome. You see, when there's a release of power, the doors of the supernatural open up. We step out of our natural limitations and into the supernatural unlimitations of the Holy Spirit. We literally, Jesus said, you'll do greater works. The greater works is Spirit-empowered people. That's all it is. That's what it is. The release of power enables us to do the works of Jesus. He declared that we would do the same work, right? I'm just moving. I skipped a verse there. The release of power enables us to experience the fullness of Almighty God. Ephesians 3, 19 and 20. And I skipped a verse there, Stephen, so you'll have to go right to Ephesians. Says this. It really does say this. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. The release of power, dynamite power in my life, enables me to experience God fully, to experience His Word fully, to experience Him in a full way. I started out asking you, now winding down. Notice I said winding down. You got five more minutes? Do you have five more minutes? Five more minutes? 10, five more minutes? 15, five more minutes? 20, five over there, 25, 30, 35. Can I get 40? Can I get 45? Can I get 45? I'm not talking in tongues. I'm an auctioneer, okay? He said, what is he doing? No, that wasn't my spiritual language, okay? I got 50 minutes. I just got that one from a speaker we had at retreat. I really loved that part. The release of power in our life helps us overcome the world, this old flesh, and the devil. And they're all against us. The world's culture and way is against everything we believe, church. Everything God has taught us. I get up with Dale every morning. That's why I try to just slide my hands up before my coffee and say, Dear Jesus, I need your grace for another day. I'm serious. Because I got to wake up with me. Dear, Darla has to wake up with me. Oh, she gave me a little heart. This old flesh, just Josh, are you, yeah, like Josh, you know, he's talking about coming home and some crazy driver. And first, I didn't know where he's going with it this morning, but I know he was going to bring it around like, whoo. And he said, you know, you feel like doing this. And I went, oh, whoo, thank you, Jesus. At least you did that, Josh. No, it's easy to get in the flesh. But the Holy Spirit will give us power over us, power over flesh, power over carnal, power over temptation. That's the devil. The devil will come at you every way, but upside down, all around. I tell you, I don't like to give him much credit, but I don't like to pretend like he doesn't exist, because the devil, especially if you love Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, he's after you every day, one day or another. And I know the world's culture is opposite of what our Bible teaches us, and I know Dale can get in the flesh in a heartbeat, but the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, dynamite working through us, we can experience the abundant life that Jesus talked about. He said, but I have come to give you life and life abundantly. That's power. First John 4 and 4 said, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And lastly but not least, and I feel like I'm a teacher preacher today. Usually I'm a preacher teacher. Today I'm a teacher preacher. But you think you don't have a prayer life now? Wait till you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will empower you to pray beyond any abilities. And I'm going to tell you what, and we're going to, when we get to it, and y'all just going to have to wait, we're going to break tongues down. Tongues has two or three different uses when you study the whole scripture. So we're going to get there, okay? Today we talked about tongues as the initial physical evidence of the baptism, just the initial physical evidence. We're going to talk about all nine gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to unpack them all in detail so that you can be informed, so that you can be learn, and so that you can know how to operate in these gifts. Wouldn't you like to be empowered to pray beyond your abilities? Well, I said that to say this. I do pray in tongues every day. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 said, I pray in tongues more than most of you. Then he began to teach the church a balanced way, and we're going to talk about all that. I tell you, see, I'm hopping a few weeks ahead of myself. You can pray Spirit-filled prayers in power, dynamite prayers, without praying in tongues. Wouldn't you like to have your own English be powerful prayers? How about that? Or Spanish or Filipino, Apache? But boy, the Spirit, it says it in the Word, when you don't know what to pray, you pray in other languages, that gift God's given you. Which would you rather be? Is that all you want? Well, you're saved, and that's still the most important thing. But don't you want to be everything the Lord's called you to be? I know I do. Let's pray. And will you stand with me as the worship team comes?